name was Virgil Pennington. I don't know whether any of you happen to know him. He was from New Jersey. When Virgil Pennington came into a room, you knew that something had happened to that room. He was not charismatic, but he just reflected the person of Christ. And the reason that he did was because he walked with God. He did no great things. He did not become a great teacher, although he was able to help folk from the Word all his life. But he walked with God. The reason I read these two scriptures from Isaiah is because God refers here to the man who is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and who trembles at the word of God. Oh, I had to look that one over and ask myself, how long is it since you trembled at the word of God? People make jokes about the word of God. People turn the word of God around and they say, well, this is cultural. That was not for our age. And what kind of a version are you using anyway? Trembling at the word of God. Does that mean that every time I hear it, I have to cower and cringe? No, we tremble for other reasons. We tremble with excitement. And this is a challenge to each of our hearts. Do we tremble at the excitement of God's Word? We tremble sometimes with anticipation. We're going on a special trip, and we just tremble with the excitement of that anticipation. Can we tremble at God's Word in this manner? Yes, I think we can. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. By me, if any man, him that cometh unto the Father, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He also said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And this is the exciting part that should make us tremble. The Lord Jesus Christ himself says, I will come again. Do we live in the trembling excitement of the Word of God, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, I will come again? Do we get excited over the fact that three times over in the book of the Revelation, the last chapter, the apostle records the words of our Lord Jesus. Behold, I come quickly. And first of all, he says, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this book. That was said to the disciple. Then he says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. That's said to the servant. The last time he says, he doesn't say, behold, I come quickly. He says, surely I come quickly. Doesn't that excite our little hearts this evening, that before this evening is done, we could hear his shout. We could hear him call us to be with himself. And so we need to tremble at the wonders of the Word of God. And for this week, I thought, there are those that can take us on a walk through the Bible on a whole day, one day. Well, I'm not able for that. Or they can take us a walk through the New Testament. And I thought that was too much for me besides. So I decided that what we should do is take a walk into the New Testament. If we don't get very far, well, that's okay. We'll enjoy the view and we'll enjoy the fragrance of Christ. And perhaps we'll get a little excited and tremble at the wonders of God's Word. The first thing we run into in the New Testament, of course, is the gospel records. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we ask ourselves, why is there four gospel records? Well, this brings us face to face with the excitement of the numerical structure of the Word of God. And we're not going into it in great detail, but it does bring us to the excitement of the numerical and order and construction of the Word of God. The first seven numbers are paralleled in the order of creation. And you remember that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that is exciting. Whether we appreciate it or not, that's exciting. That God could speak the universe into being. And the thing that excites me and gives me great comfort, because I think of eternity, past and future, with a little apprehension. I don't know whether you do or not, but I've spoken to others, and the thought of never, never ending kind of scares some folk. I like to know when a meeting begins. I like to know when it's supposed to end. I like to know when a vacation begins. And I also look forward to the time when it will be all done and I can go home. My wife thought I was crazy when I would speak of things like this, because when she went on vacation, she would hope it would never end. But it does end, and yet God was there at the beginning. He was the beginning, if I may put it that way. And God, in infinite power, omnipotence, he spoke the worlds into being. Now in verse 2, we read in Genesis 1, and the earth was without form and waste. Did God make it that way? No, of course he did not. And so we search through the prophets, and we find out at least what we assume to be the problem was when the anointed cherub, Satan, Lucifer, raised up his will against the will of God, and he was cast down. What does that have to do with the earth becoming waste and void? Well, undoubtedly, because he was the anointed cherub, Satan had information that probably no one else had. And so he knows that God's plans and purposes are going to be accomplished and effected in the earth. And so he comes down, and we read these sad, solemn words: the earth was without form and waste. But God said, let there be light. And that was the first day. The number one is the number of union, unity, and power and authority. We speak of the number one man in our country. We speak of the number one man of a large corporation. And so we find in the number one the power and authority, and the unity is expressed. The number two, of course, is the number of witness. And that was applied on the second day. We read that there was a firmament above and a firmament below. Here is a witness, both above and below, to the power and wonders of our God. Then, of course, we find in the New Testament that the disciples were sent out in twos. We also know that in the Old Testament, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter would be established. And then the number three, that's a most interesting number. It's a number of separation. God allowed the earth and the sea to be separated. It's the number of no return, the point of no return. It's that which is conclusive. And we find scores of opportunities to confirm this in our Bibles. You remember that Abraham was told of God, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him in a place that I will show you. And so he packed up the things that he needed, and his son Isaac, and he took the servants along, and their animals, and we find that after the third day, Abraham said to his servants, you stay here, and I'll go yonder. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again. Why did he leave the servants? Why couldn't they have come and built the altar? Why couldn't they have started the fire? Because if they had gone with him, they would have interfered with God's plans and purposes. You see, the moment that he would have laid hold on Isaac and bound him to the altar, they would say, the old man is gone, he's off his rocker, and it's time we rescued Isaac. But they had gone a third day, and it was the point of no return. And there was no way that God would interfere, that would allow interference with his divine purposes. The Lord Jesus, he also had his 3-day experiences or third time experiences. You remember that there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. You remember how that wedding miracle began? It begins with these words. Now, the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. What has that to do with separation? Well, that's what a marriage is all about, isn't it? We separate ourselves from our former associates, and we separate ourselves to each other. And so we have the Lord having his third time or third day experiences. And then, of course, we realize, do we not, that he was in the grave 3 days. And it was during that time that our sins were forever put away from the memory of God. God hasn't forgotten our sins, but God has the capacity to put them out of his memory. Their sins and their iniquities, will I forget? No, he didn't say that at all. He said, their sins and iniquities will I remember. No more. And so the Lord Jesus had those third day and third time experiences. And then, of course, there was the experience of Joseph in the prison when he interpreted the dreams of the chief butler and the chief baker. You remember that he told them that after 3 days, Pharaoh would lift up their heads. Literally, one of them was lifted up. He was put to death. And the other was restored and lifted up to his former capacity. Yes, these three-day experiences, you remember, when Moses went in to Pharaoh to release the people, he said, you go ahead. You go in one worship and come back again. Leave your children here. Leave your wives here. Leave your cattle here. And Moses said, no, we're going out. And we're going to separate ourselves by 3 days. So what does all this have to do with us, the number game? Because I believe that there is a time in our lives when we have to come to that third time experience. It's an experience of total commitment. We hear a lot said about it today, but do we see it? I'll try this, and I'll try the other, and I'll try the next thing. But is there a total commitment to the Lord, to his people, to our assemblies and churches? We need to know the third day experience. You remember the three cities of refuge that were set up by Moses. It began with three cities. There were more as time went on, but this was three cities that were separated. And it was a point of no return. If a man slew another man and he hadn't hated him before, it was an accident, he could run to the city of refuge, and he could stay there until the high priest died, and then he would be released. And nobody could touch him. It was the point of no return. This fourth number is on the fourth day. We use the expression very regularly in our common parlance, the four points of the compass, the four winds of heaven, the four corners of the earth. But we also turn to the Word of God, and we find that at the time of the recreation, at the time when Adam was there in the garden, the whole earth, the whole area was watered by four rivers. It's a worldwide expression, the number four. And so we have the four Gospels. And they tell us of a worldwide remedy for a worldwide condition. And of course we know the condition. The condition is sin. And God has the only remedy for the sinner. Yes, the next day is the day of grace. That was when there was an abundance of things on the earth. And the number five, the fifth day, is the grace of God. The abundant grace of God. The sixth day is the number of man. As we know, the seventh is the number of completeness. The number six is one short of seven. And we're reminded by the Spirit of God, are we not, that all have come short of the glory of God. And then the number seven is the number of completeness. The Lord Jesus takes this up when he repeats seven times over in the Gospels, I am, I am. Absolutely sovereign, absolutely complete. I am the Messiah. I am He. He said to the woman of Samaria, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the way. I am the resurrection. And finally, when they came to the garden, he said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they fell backwards. Interesting. I don't believe that anything that is recorded in the Word of God is incidental. And why does it tell us that they fell backwards? Well, I think some clown would have said that they fell each over each other forward trying to get to the Lord Jesus, but they fell backwards. The I am of his deity repelled them, and they fell backwards. It's the number of completeness. And there again, in our everyday lives, we have a complete cycle of a week. And you know, you go to church on Sunday, and you do the wash on Monday, and you do the ironing on Tuesday, and you do the cleaning on Wednesday, and you do the shopping on Thursday, and so the week finally is complete. And so we have the number seven. The number eight is the number of resurrection. It's the new beginning. The week is done, and we start on the eighth day, and it's the new beginning. The number 10 is an ordinal number. There were the 10 commandments, or the ordinances of God for the people at that time. And then the number 12 is the governmental number. We have 12 tribes, we have 12 apostles, we have 24 elders, that's 12 times 2. And then last of all, I'd like to mention, there are other numbers, and there are other examples of these numbers, if you'd look them up and enjoy them for yourselves. But the last number I'd like to mention is the number 40. It's the number of testing. It's the number of trial. It's the number of proving. You remember that Israel went through the desert for 40 years, and God proved them, and he proved that they were wrong. And so he had to start with the next generation. And then, of course, there was Nineveh. You remember how Jonah marched into Nineveh? Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Well, they repented, and Jonah didn't like it. And then there was Joash. He reigned for 40 years, and he did everything that Jehoiada, the high priest, taught him. But when Jehoiada died, Joash went to pieces. But we have a high priest who already died and rose from the dead. And so our high priest is yonder, and we never have to fail. And if we do, he intercedes for us. Moses had 40 years, 40 experiences, didn't he? His life was divided into 3 40s. As someone has said, the first 40 years he learned to be somebody. The second 40 years he learned to be nobody. And the third 40 years he learned that God can take a nobody and make him a somebody. And so we have these numbers. And then the Lord Jesus, he had his 40-day periods, did he not? He was 40 days in the wilderness. Oh, I admit it was Jim Flanagan who said to an Arab guide on one occasion, "Take me out to the wilderness," where Jesus was tempted. And he said, I don't think you'd like that. And he said, "Well, take me anyway." And he went out there and he said, "The place just feels satanic." The Lord Jesus Christ, before he went out, had the approbation of his Father. "This is my beloved Son, in whom is all my delight." And then after his resurrection, he was with the disciples, wasn't he, for 40 days, helping them, encouraging them, blessing them. May God help us to meditate on these things. And as the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, "Give thyself wholly to them." And let's tremble at the word. Tremble with excitement. Tremble with anticipation. Tremble with joy that we are children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father in God, we bow before thee. We thank thee that although we're not able for these things, thy Spirit is able. And so help us to glean from thy precious holy word those things that will help us to walk
with God. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us, for Thy Word before us, and for Thy Holy Spirit to teach us concerning our Lord Jesus. And it is in His name we bow in adoring worship. Amen.